Well, hello. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Murray Grace Fellowship. It's Sunday morning again. It's 11 o'clock and it's time to go online with our live Sunday service. Good morning, Michelle. It's good to see you this morning. Well, it's good to see your comments. Welcome, everyone, along to this live broadcast. We're still broadcasting across YouTube and Facebook and every other platform. Still not in our building, but that time will come. We'll be able to worship once again together as a body in a single place. But we can still worship together. We can still get around the word. We can still take communion together across these platforms. So it's really good to have you with me this morning. I will just wait until a few more people join. That's some more coming on now. That's great. So good to see you joining with us, not just here in Murray, but we have people joining us at live, but also during the week on Facebook and on the website from various places across the UK and across the globe. So it's wonderful to see so many people gathering around the word together, communing together and encouraging one another. Hallelujah. So once again, welcome to Murray Grace Fellowship for our online Sunday service. I trust you are all blessed, highly favoured and deeply loved, because that's what the word says. It doesn't matter how you feel, how things are going, what external circumstances are like, you are still blessed, highly favoured and deeply loved. Amen. I want to start with one of my favourite psalms, Psalm 103. I use it quite a lot. It's apt that I'm using it today because I think it's in my sermon later on, so hallelujah if I remember properly. Psalm 103, it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." I love the use of this word, all. It's one of the most important words in scripture, all. "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things," hallelujah, "so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Amen. Wonderful promises of what's coming under the new covenant. And we now live under that. I'm going to cover this a little bit this morning. But we have been forgiven of all iniquities, all our sin. We have been healed of all diseases. In our born-again spirit, we have supernatural health and wholeness. It says, talks about satisfying thy mouth with good things. That's abundance and prosperity. We have all we need already within our born-again spirit. It's our job. It's our job to work that out, to draw that out, to make it manifest in our lives. And I'm going to use Joshua this morning as an example of how that's done. So hallelujah. So we are going to start with the message this morning. I will then receive our offering, although I'm receiving it all week through the account and through checks and cash. That's great. And then we'll take communion together to close. But I'm going to start with scripture. We're going to gather around the word. We're going to focus on his scriptures. God breathed. And we'll see what that's saying to us this morning. So let's pray for the word. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths held within your scripture. Thank you that they are incorruptible seeds. Thank you that they are perfect. Thank you that they have quite literally been breathed of you. They are you. Hallelujah. We thank you for these truths that we have such freedom to gather around, such freedom to delve into, such freedom to dive into and explore. Thank you for all the mysteries held within for us to find. Not held away from us, but held in there for us to rightly divide and to find. So we thank you for these truths. As we do every time we look at the word, I speak our understanding in the mighty name of Jesus. Understanding so that these seeds can grow, that these seeds aren't stolen by the enemy. Understood so that they will germinate and grow and produce fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. We are great believers at NGF here. There it is. Understanding of the Word. Getting a real epinosis of the Word, all about Jesus, that is the agent for permanent and lasting change in our lives. And that's what we're hoping to do every time we look at the Scriptures, every time we rightly divide the Word, every time you read the Word, we study it together. We're looking to increase our understanding, increase our knowledge of this Word, and through that have an impact and a positive change, and a lasting change and a permanent change in our lives. That's why we study the Word. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Joshua. Joshua 1. And I'm going to read the same passage that I read last week. This is just a little mini-series I felt led to look into Joshua while I was away recently. And I never really got past the first chapter. So this may be the last week, I'm not sure. Nancy's going to be preaching soon, maybe next week, the week after. But we'll see how long I stay on Joshua. Hallelujah. So Joshua 1:1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou, and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Amen. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Awesome. Awesome passage of scripture there about Joshua and the Hebrew nation and the possibility of going into the promised land. You see, Moses had led them right to the edge, but Moses couldn't take them into the promised land. It was going to be Joshua that took them into the promised land. And last week we saw that Joshua, we saw a bit of typology about Joshua being a picture of the church, about Joshua being a picture of us, and how we need to possess what God has already given us. We saw that God had provided the promised land to the people, but they had to go and place their feet, the soles of their feet, they had to tread upon the land in order to go and possess what the Lord had already given them. And it's like that, that's like it for us under new covenant. We have all spiritual blessings. We have all we need pertaining to life and godliness. Jesus came to give us an abundant life, but we need to go and possess it. We need to see it manifest in our lives. Yes, once we're born again, it's in there. It's in our born-again spirit, but we need to draw it out. We need to experience that. We need to manifest it. And we do that by going and possessing it, metaphorically, possessing the promised land. See, God has done his bit. We need to do ours. Amen. God had provided it for the Hebrew nation, the promised land, but they needed to do their bit. They had to go and walk into it. Hallelujah. And we saw that the way to do that was to study, to understand and believe in God's word. And then we see what's in our born again spirit being drawn out and made manifest in our lives. Healing and wholeness and joy and peace and acceptance and abundance and prosperity. All good things. Amen. And that's a great picture of our walk under grace, where we've already been provided, we've already been given all that we need. And now it's time for us to go and possess that goodness. Amen. So I want to carry on this week and look at some of the things that the Lord said to Joshua. And you know, I believe it's God is no respecter of persons. What he did for one, he did for everyone else. So I believe what God says to Joshua, we can transfer that onto our lives. Yeah, we're not going to cross a river and we're not going to get into the promised land, but we are going to move into salvation, into sozo. So we can see what the Lord said to Joshua and we can transfer that onto our lives. As long as we understand that we're under different covenants, but I will explain that as we go along. So, I've often told you that everything in the Word is important. Yes, everything in here is important. I mean, last week I said everything from the start to the finish is a typology and a picture of Jesus Christ. So, it's all important. Excuse me. But we do need to take special care, special attention, I believe, where we see repetition. If God repeats something, we really should sit up and listen. And listen good. So, let me just take a trawl through Joshua 1 for a moment. Joshua 1 verse 6, it says, "Be strong and of good courage." This is the Lord speaking to Joshua. Verse 7, he says, only be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 9, he says, "Be strong and of good courage." And if you read further down, verse 18, it says, "Only be strong and of good courage." 4 times in this chapter, we hear this phrase, "be strong and of good courage," or "very courageous." In fact, if we look from verses 6 to 9, 4 verses, he says it 3 times. 3 times he repeats, "be strong, good courage." That says to me, we really need to understand what he's saying here, what these mean. I mean, I'm thinking for me, I need to get these words, this understanding into my heart. What does it mean to be strong? What does it mean to be of good courage? For the Lord, this seemed to be so important for Joshua. He's repeating this to Joshua. Be strong, be of good courage. And that will help you get into the promised land. And I see that. Well, we need to understand that. That's going to help us get into our promised land, into salvation, into sozo. See what the good things that are there for us. So I think it's very, very important that we need to understand what these words are saying. So, I got into Strong's Concordance and did a little bit of a study. And that word strong is the Hebrew word kazak. Don't know if I pronounced that right. K-H-A-W-Z-A-K, kazak. Not really important if I've not said it right, but that's that word. And if you look in Strong's, it has lots of different meanings. But here's the ones that really stood out to me. It said to fasten upon, to seize, to be strong, to be constant, to confirm. And that talks to me of knowing what you believe and sticking to it, no matter what. I don't think this is about being strong in terms of having lots of muscles and lifting big weights. To me, it's about having strength of character and strength of will. It's about knowing what you know and being constant in that. Not wavering, not being in doubt. I know what I know, what I know, and I am sticking to that. I am being strong in that. I am fastening onto it. I am seizing it. I am confirming that in my heart, no matter what. You see, Joshua knew what God had said was the truth, and he stuck with it. Joshua knew he was in covenant relationship with God, and he stuck with that truth. If you remember back, I've mentioned that a few times, you remember back when Joshua was sent out with Caleb and the other 10 spies, Numbers 13 and 14, go back and read that account if you can't remember. They went out to spy what was in the promised land. Moses had sent them out. And they all knew the same things. They'd been taught the same things by Moses. They'd been told that God had promised them the land. God had promised this to them. That was theirs. And they went in and they saw the goodness in the land. I love the thing about the big bunch of grapes that they had to carry on their shoulders. I mean, lots of good things in that land. But there was also giants, there was walls, there was problems. But Joshua and Caleb were strong. They fastened upon what the Lord had said. They seized upon the covenant that they were under. They trusted in the Lord and they did not waver in that trust. And then that confidence, they were strong, whereas the other 10 spies weren't. Remember, they said they came back with an evil report, even though they just said what they saw in the physical. But we're told that was an evil report. They were strong. And this is what the Lord is telling Joshua, that he has to be to go into the promised land. See, friends, things may come along in your life that look desperate, that could throw you, that could cause you to have doubt. But God may have told you something about health or prosperity or career or family or whatever. And the world and other people or the enemy can throw things in your path that can cause problems. And that's the time when you have to say, well, what am I going to believe? What am I going to fasten on to? What am I going to seize? What am I going to confirm in my brain? Let me give you a little example. At the start of this year, everybody's looking forward to 2020, weren't they? Turn of the year. 2020 is going to be a great year. And it looked like being my best year ever in business. I had customers queuing up. You could say my order book was full. And then, in a space of 2 days in March, I had 100% of that booked work cancelled. Just gone. And that threw me. That caused me major concerns. That put real doubt in my mind. And I now realise, looking back on that period, I did not do a Joshua. See, Joshua saw the goodness in the promised land. He also saw the challenges. Yet he believed what God said over what he saw. He believed what God had said rather than what the world was saying. And he did not allow the giants, the walls, the problems to shake his confidence in God. He stayed strong and was courageous. I panicked. I panicked. I started to look at myself to get me out of this issue, hoping that new customers would pull me through, focusing on things of the world, on carnal things, my order book, my bank balance, my future work, or lack of it. But then after some soul-searching, some prayer, and some walks with Nancy and some prompting from her, I went to see what the Lord had to say. I took to the Word. I meditated upon it. I spoke out scriptures, as Joshua was told to do in chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Now, I admit it took me a few days, 3 or 4 days, to kind of get back on the rails, to get to grips with this, to start putting my trust again in the Lord. I started believing in the scriptures that I have in the back of my Bible. Scriptures that I teach you, my declaration of appropriation for prosperity and abundance. What I realise now is scriptures that are easy to believe when things are going really well in the physical. But I meditated upon them. I believed in them. I put my trust in the Lord. I started to be strong. In other words, doing a Joshua. And things changed, first in my mind, in my attitude, in what I trusted in, and then in the physical. Friends, standing strong in the things of the Lord will make all the difference. There are times when we will all have to be strong in the context of fastening on to what the Lord has said, in the context of seizing what the Lord has said, confirming what the Lord has said. As I was meditating on this for the message, I was reminded about Romans 8:6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Boy, this is such an important verse for us. How we view things, what we fasten on to, what we seize upon, what we confirm makes all the difference. And the spies that we read about in Numbers 13 and 14, they actually lived out this verse. 10 of the spies saw the physical things, focused on the problems, the hurdles to get over. And what did they experience? I'll tell you what they experienced. They experienced death in the wilderness. They never made it into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb, on the other hand, they were strong. They looked at the spiritual side. What God had already said, what God had already done, They saw life and abundance and prosperity, even when they were looking at the giants and the walls and the problems and the issues. They got into the promised land by focusing on the spiritual, focusing on what the Lord had said, being strong in what God had already told them. This is an important picture. We need to remember that. We need to heed their example and heed Romans 8, verse 6. In my example, looking at the physical, I saw the work gone. I saw the fees drying up. I saw bills coming in. You know, if you looked on the news, the papers, you just saw doom and gloom everywhere. But on the back of my Bible, I had scriptures like 3 John 2, like John 10:10, like 2 Corinthians 8:9, Job 10:10 that said I would be blessed of the work of my hands. All truths from the scripture. I had had a specific word from the Lord to leave full-time secular work, start my own business alongside my ministry. I had a specific word about paying my mortgage off early. It was now decision time. What was I going to be strong in? Carnal or the physical? What the world was saying, or what God had said. And we're all going to have times like this in our lives, folks. We're all going to have times when circumstances look difficult. We'll be looking into that promised land of what God has promised us and just see giants. Just see problems. We live in a fallen world. We are going to be hit with problems and persecution. We need to decide, are we going to be strong? Are we going to do a Joshua? Or are we going to be like the other spies? Apart from Caleb, of course. Will we be like Joshua and Caleb and look on the spiritual, what God has said? Or will we be like the 10 spies and look at what the world is saying right now? What will we be strong in? What will we fasten on to? What will we seize? What will we confirm in our brains? Now, I'm not telling you my example to show how good I am. Because I struggled, guys. I really did. I really got a knock. It was so hard that time. And it's difficult not to worry sometimes, you know, especially when others are dependent upon you. But it can be done because we have a choice and we need to make that choice of what to focus on and what to be strong in. It took me a while to come to the correct decision, to focus on the right things. And we all do that sometimes, but we can all do it. Spiritual or carnal, what the Lord has said or what the world is saying, that's our choice. And we need to be strong in what the Lord has said and not strong in what the world is saying. Okay, so that's strong. What about good courage? 3 times or very courageous 1 time? But it's the same word, same Hebrew word. It's the Hebrew word omatz. Again, there's a few meanings. But the root word means to be alert physically or mentally. And it talks of confirming, establishing, fortifying, hardening. Now, that sounds a bit same as the definition for strong. And I think, once again, this is in the context of our mind, of mental issues, of how we think. Be alert in our mind. Establish and fortify things in our mind. Harden our views. Confirm what we think about what the Lord has already done. It just emphasizes to me that about being strong, they're both similar and they're both about mindsets, in my opinion. Now, we all know that how we think, the way we think, and what we think affects our lives. That is a truth that we constantly affirm here at Murray Grace Fellowship. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's a verse we all know and we all understand. And I think that has been confirmed here by what the Lord says to Joshua, and therefore what the Lord is saying to us. Joshua knew the Lord had provided the promised land. Joshua knew that the Lord wanted him and the people to possess this. Joshua knew he was in a covenant relationship with God, and those other peoples in the promised land were not. And in these truths, Joshua stood strong and was courageous with. He fastened onto these truths. He seized them. He clung onto them. He established them in his mind. He confirmed them. He fortified in them what he believed. And that is what we need to do today in our walk and in our life. We are in a covenant relationship with the Lord. And let me tell you this, guys, it's a better covenant with better promises than the one that Joshua had. We are living under the new covenant, under an awesome covenant. And we need to seize onto that and hold it and confirm it and fortify it in our minds. We should know what he has provided for us. We should not forget any of his benefits, as it says in Psalm 103. I knew I had it in the message somewhere. Hallelujah. And these truths should be what we stand strong in, what we fasten on to, what we seize, what we fortify and harden them in our hearts, imprint them in our brains. Remember that teaching a while ago that I was speaking about brain function and Caroline Leaf's truths about forming good pictures in our brains and removing toxic thoughts. Well, that was all about changing the patterns in our brains and hardening and fortifying the really good ones. And how do we do that? Well, let's see what the Lord said to Joshua. Told Joshua to observe the law. Now, remember, Joshua was living under a different covenant. That's not appropriate for us. But we can transfer what the Lord is saying to Joshua there is, observe the scriptures that I have given you under your covenant. So we do the same. We observe the scriptures that God has given us under our covenant. We observe all that we are to do in New Covenant scriptures. Joshua had to meditate on the law day and night. That was appropriate for his covenant. In our covenant, we are to meditate day and night upon New Covenant scriptures, upon the apostles' doctrine. Hallelujah. Joshua was told not to turn to the left hand or the right hand with respect to observing what was in the law. Well, that's just the same for us. We need to stick to New Covenant scripture and not deviate from it. So we see Joshua as a picture of how to move into that promised land. We copy him. We use this model to move into our salvation, to move into sozo, what God has already provided for us. He used the scripture appropriate under his covenant. We use the scripture appropriate under our covenant. Now, yes, all scripture is there for us to learn from, but in terms of not deviating from, that's New Covenant scripture. That's apostles' doctrine. That's appropriate for our covenant. Hallelujah. And the Lord said to Joshua, if you do this and you stay strong and you be courageous, your way shall be made prosperous and you will have good success. That's a promise. And that, my friend, is a promise that he's given to you today, given to us. Don't deviate from the New Covenant scriptures. Meditate upon it night and day. Understand it, believe it, trust it, obey it, and you will have success. You will be prosperous. But, let me add a little but there. Be prepared for a bumpy ride. Because if you do not deviate from New Covenant scripture, you will be going against the world, going against the enemy, going against most people. You see, this word says many things about gender, about sexual relations, about marriage, about the sanctity of life, about how to bring up children, that goes completely against the norms and the cultures and the mindsets of today's secular world. Goes against what is the norm, normal behaviour. Goes against what is now accepted behaviour. And so in that sense, if we follow this advice that the Lord has given to Joshua, if we put it into our life about living in the Word, by not deviating from the Word, by not letting the Word depart from our mouths, in that sense, we are all going to have to be strong and very courageous. You will also probably be going against most Christians if you adhere to what I'm saying about not deviating from the left or right of the apostles' doctrine, of meditating day and night upon the apostles' doctrine. You'd be going against most Christians, even members of your family who are in the church. If you start speaking about grace and what we believe, what we have hope in, again, you will need to be strong and have good courage. You know, it can be difficult to possess that healing that you have been given when other believers are saying, well, maybe it's not for you. Maybe there is purpose in your pain. Maybe God is doing this for your own good. No, you may need to be strong and have good courage in your faith that healing is for everyone and that healing is for you. That's what we have under the new covenant. You know, you'll have to be strong and have good courage and seize upon the promises and stick to them. And then I'm not even going to mention prosperity. Start speaking about that. Well, that's a whole different ballgame. Now, if we want to possess what God has already provided for us in our promised land, in salvation, in sozo, we will need to be strong and need to be of good courage. We will need to meditate upon the word day and night and not let it depart from our mouth and not deviate from what it says. And then we will need to seize on to what we believe, fasten onto the truth within that we understand, harden them, hardwire them into our mind, establish these truths, fortify these truths, build up these truths that they just can't be knocked down. We need to focus on the spiritual and not on the physical. Trust in what God has said, not what the world, the enemy, other people are saying. Now, that's a little phrase that I've been really meditating on for the past 24 hours. When I was preparing the message yesterday, I typed that out and I thought, that's good. I need to really focus on that. What's important to us should be what God has said, has done, not what the world is saying. You see, the world, the enemy, other people are coming against what God has already done. Has already done, has already given us. And that's the truth. What the world is saying, what the enemy is saying, what other people are saying. We learned this a little bit on Thursday night, but I've been saying it for a long time. They are what I call facts. Truth overrides facts. Truth is spiritual reality. Facts are what we're seeing in the physical right now. Truth has been said, has been put in place by God. Facts are just things that are happening just now. We need to let truth override the facts. Amen. See, God has provided all spiritual blessings. He has done it. He's provided all we need pertaining unto life and godliness. He says that our healing, in a sense, is in the past. It's a done deal. Our prosperity is in the past. It's a done deal. Yet the enemy is saying, no, you're sick, you're poor. Your body is saying, oh, that back is so sore. Your flesh is saying, oh, there's a little bit of a tickle in your throat. I'm sure you don't have a temperature, but how's that sense of smell? That's what your flesh is saying. But God is saying, you're healed. God is saying, no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. But the world is saying, you're sick. What do we believe? What God has said and done and is written in his word, or what the world, the enemy, other people are currently saying and trying putting on to us now. Joshua knew what God had told him in the past. The promised land is yours. Joshua knew that God had given them everything in the promised land. They just had to go and possess it. They had to go and place the soles of their feet upon it, and it was theirs. Now, in the promised land, yes, they saw walls, they saw giants, they saw problems to overcome, they saw difficulties. But Joshua knew that himself and the people were in covenant relationship with God. He saw all the physical problems, but he was strong in his mind. He was of good courage in his mind, and he believed in what God had said. He trusted in what the Lord had said, rather than what the world was saying. And that is a great picture of how we can live right now in our better new covenant relationship with the Lord. It's a great picture of how we can possess all that's already been provided in our promised land. Amen. Hallelujah. That's a good message. need to listen to that again, I think. Awesome.